Blog Talk Radio. Bye.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven.
Hello, and welcome everyone on this Friday, February 19, 2021, to another edition of The Bible on Trial, brought to you by Spirit of Truth Ministry. We are delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule to join us here today for our program. We encourage you to get your Bibles ready. The Bible is the textbook that we use. We also encourage you after the program to go to our websites at spiritoftruthministry.net. There you will find lots of good writing and reading from Rick Sterling and a copy of our book, The Spirit of the Church, by me, Dennis Neufeld, and Rick Sterling. And we encourage you to go to our original website, original website at spiritoftruthministry.net/SM, where you will find a lot of other good research material. Let's have prayer, and then we'll greet Dr. Don on the phone and do our greetings here, and we'll get started with our program. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, God Almighty, God the Son, Jesus, and God, our Mother, whose name is Wisdom, we thank you for being here with us today to encourage us to learn the truth, to think and look deeper into these things, not just on the surface, so that we can understand not just what is happening, but why it is happening and how it will be accomplished. We thank you that you have put into the prophecies of Revelation a prophecy that no one else, so far as we know, has seen, and that is the prophecy of the life road in Revelation 10. And we thank you that you have blessed us with this information so that we can tell others about it and cause them to have peace with whatever is going on around them. I thank you for doing this, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning. Good morning, Dr. Don. How are you doing today?
Good morning. Enjoying a gorgeous morning. It's a gorgeous
day. How is it down?
Down here in Orange Country, it's gorgeous, gorgeous.
Wonderful. Anything new that we should know about?
Well, on the national theme today is the big Supreme Court ruling, which I'm interested to see how it's going to come out.
Yeah, me too. That's going to be fascinating. That what they're deciding is whether or not they're even going to hear the cases. So if they decide today that they're going to hear the
cases. Okay, I'll tell you something new. Yesterday, the headlines, the paper, big headlines, the paper. Due to online classes, the students' grades are dropping. You think?
I'm sorry. Okay. Online classes are causing students' grades to drop. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, you think? That's a great insight.
That's the whole.
That's right. Well, and Don, if you want to say something, go ahead and push number one, and we'll get you on the air.
Thank you, babe.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And good morning, Rick.
Well, it would be a good morning if my allergies weren't all flared up.
Pull it just a little bit closer.
I mowed the lawn yesterday, and I should have worn my mask, but I didn't wear my mask because I wear my mask all the other times when I'm going everywhere else.
Dr. Fauci was right.
Double masked, exactly. Oh, geez.
No, I needed a mask on so that the pollens, which are
rampant.
Larger in size.
Larger in size is what I was exactly going to say. Anyway, I wanted to continue the study we had last weekend. A couple of announcements that I do want to make. Last Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, for the Revelation of Jesus class presentation. The first part of it, I had to end because I had a phone issue, it was a communication. The direct connect cut me off. And so there is two parts for last Sabbath's Revelation of Jesus. And I recommend that you may find the second part very interesting and informative.
What was interesting about that, when I first saw that on Blog Talk Radio, I was getting ready to download it, I saw there were programs there for the same day, and they had about the same number for their length. And so I didn't know if they were going to be the same thing or whether they were going to be different.
Well, it's a continuation of the first part.
And the reason why we know that something happened is because I looked it up, and the showtime starts are in half-hour intervals. So the first program stopped right at 22 minutes and went away. So that was something that was completely out of our control.
Right. But just, I wanted to let you know that, because typically we don't have two episodes in one time slot. And the other thing is, a lot of you who have been listening for pretty much the whole time we've been broadcasting, which started in 2007.
Yeah.
2007, 2008. That.
Go ahead and pull that. You're going to need to pull that a little closer to you.
Yeah. What got me going in this was a certain.
Something, hang on. Hang on here.
Certain.
Hang on just a second. Your mic isn't going. Say something.
Testing. Is your mic going?
Testing 1, 2, 3.
No, your mic's not going either.
Hang on. No, it's. Oh, mine's off. There we go.
Testing. 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 Testing.
Unplug it and plug it back in.
There. Or that's your mic. Okay.
It didn't click.
Testing.
No, it's fine. That's. There we go.
Testing. I already did that.
It was working before.
Testing.
Well, you know what?
Testing. Testing.
Yeah. Go ahead and try that.
Give me the fourth slot there.
This one? This one here. This one's up.
Testing. That one's working.
Yeah.
Testing. That one's working.
Okay.
Testing. Yes. Sorry. I don't know why we have all these issues. Testing.
Hey, Don.
It's working.
Okay.
Thank you. We finally got it. Okay.
Anyway, a individual's name is Larry Wilson, and I was working in support of him, although doing my own thing, and we eventually sort of parted. Well, eventually we did part ways, and I moved on. But I just wanted to say that Larry Wirtz here just handed me the letter that Larry Wilson's wife had written, that Larry Wilson had fallen asleep in death on the 11th of January. I don't know what to say. I feel my feelings are hard to put into words.
I'm not getting a good use that one.
Okay. Now, can you hear me? It looks like we're okay there. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, since the road that leads to perdition is wide and spacious, and many take it. But it is a narrow gate and a hard road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Before we move back to the parable of the sower and of the wheat and the tares and the other parables, I want to say a word about this. I think that most of the people of the world are aware of what's going on in the United States right now. I will say that this is not going to last for much longer. But what is going on validates what this statement by the Son of God says. It is very clear that the liberal left hates the truth, and that conservative, God-fearing, neighbor-caring people of the United States and the world are having a very hard road. They love the truth. And those who love the lies are making their life very difficult and very hard. What this statement says, and it's the point I want to make before we move on, that the road that leads to the kingdom begins at a narrow gate, and one must find that gate in order to enter the kingdom. And that once you go through that gate, the road to the kingdom is narrow and hard, difficult, because it is made difficult by those who are on the wide way. It appears that one road is within at least visual proximity spiritually of the other road. And the ones on the wide road are constantly telling the ones on the narrow road that they are on, that the one that they are on the wide road. They are on the road to death. Those who find the narrow gate are few, very few. But what they are tasked with doing is showing others who are on the wide road the way to the narrow gate. They are not looking for the narrow gate because they believe they've already found it. They need to be shown that they are on the wide road. Two very clear indications of whether one is on the wide road or not is what they believe in is all inclusive, accommodating, easy. The road of truth is narrow for one reason. It is not accommodating. And when I'm talking about accommodating and inclusiveness, I'm not talking about flesh tone. I'm not talking about nationality. I'm talking about the soul. The soul of an individual does not have color. It does not have nationality. It does not have substance that you can see or feel. It has information. And that information is either true or false. It is either verity or lies. That is what determines what road we are on. It is easy to travel with those who are accommodating. But why does the wide road need to be wide? What makes the wide road wide? It's because there are differing views, beliefs, practices, worships that those on the wide road take, believing that they are going to end up in the same place that those on the narrow road say they are going.
You call it broad spectrum.
That's okay. Go ahead and I heard it. We heard it.
Okay. So I'm going to read it one more time. and then we'll go to the solar. Enter by the narrow gate, since the road that leads to perdition is wide and spacious, which means accommodating. Accommodating. What is accommodating? Two words, grace and faith. Grace and faith. Those are accommodating words. Because by grace, you can believe whatever you want. By faith, you can believe whatever you want. Whatever feels right to you is right to God. So by combining faith, your faith in what you believe, you must have grace to make it work. You must have grace to make faith work. The Son of God never taught that faith was the key to salvation. Never. Trust. Trust in truth. You do not need grace when you have truth. Trust is not grace. Trust is trusting in the truth of the message of the testimony of the Son of God. That is the narrow way. It is not the wide way. Now, we'll go to Matthew chapter 13 and keep in mind what we just talked about in Matthew 7. There were four types of soil. Now, a seed has two properties for mankind. One is that you can plant it and it will grow more seeds. Or you can take the seeds of the grasses, grind them up and make flour so that you can make bread to eat. Now, fruit of the fruit trees is a little different in that you can eat the fruit and plant the seed. But in reality, it is similar, where you're not destroying the seed, but you're still planting the seed for food. The point that the Son of God is making in this parable has nothing to do with the seed. Has everything to do with the soil the seed falls on. The sower is casting the seed, sowing the seed. What is the seed? What does it represent? In this parable, what does the seed, what is the seed? We're not told what the seed is in this parable. We're told what the soil is and what happens to the seed
depending upon what type of soil it has fallen on. But in the parable of the wheat and the tares, the darnel, the wheat and the darnel, he tells us what the seed is. And it's interesting of what the seed is. In the explanation given to the disciples, because they did not understand at all what he was saying, when he's telling the parables, they didn't understand. Now, one would think that he chose these disciples and that they had the ability to understand his parables. But apparently, they didn't. In Matthew 13, starting with verse 36, then leaving the crowds, he went to the house, and the disciples came to him and said, explain the parable about the darnel in the field to us. He said in reply, the sower of the good seed is the Son of Man. I'm just going to make an observation here as we're looking at this. In the parable of the wheat and the tare and the darnel, there are two types of sowers. In the parable of the sower and the soil, there's one type of sower. Combining these two parables together gives us a clearer picture of what these parables mean. The sower of the good seed, the Son of Man. The sower of the good seed is the Son of Man, who is also the Son of God, but he's the Son of Man while he's sowing the good seed. He has become a Son of Man, and he is sowing good seed. The field is the world. The field is the world. Do you notice something there that isn't, that seems a little strange? The field is not Israel. The field is not the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The field is the world. Is there a parable that we can connect with that information to verify and validate that it is the world?
Matthew 21.
And the parable of the invitation to the marriage feast. The parable of the invitation to the marriage feast. So what we can ascertain from this is he knows that what he is saying in the hearing of his disciples and the people there at the time is a message that will go to the ends of the earth. The words are the seeds, and he is scattering the seed to his disciples and to the people around him, and those seeds are going to fall on certain types of soil. The soil being the intellect of people. So the spirit, the intellect of each person is represented by the various types of soil in the parable of the sower. The scattering of the seed is the invitation sent out to anyone and everyone who will read it. Now, the invitation doesn't say a marriage feast is planned for the son of the king. And all who wish to come will be admitted and will be welcomed. This list is specific in its openness, or however best to describe that. Typically in a wedding, the invitation go to specific people, family members, friends, associates, to attend the marriage. This invitation went out, but it had contained within it a defining statement. Proper wedding robe required. Didn't say open to everyone, come as you are, all are welcome. Didn't say that. It said proper wedding gown required. What is the wedding gown? The wedding robe, whichever way you want to phrase it. For that, we can go to Revelation chapter 3. And it's in the message to the assembly in Sardis. And I'm going to read the whole thing because you get the picture of the statement in the invitation to the marriage feast, proper wedding robe required. So this is Revelation chapter 3, starting with verse 1. Write to the messenger of the church in Sardis and say, here is the message of the one who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know all about you, how you are reputed to be alive and yet are dead. Wake up, revive what little you have left. It is dying fast. So far, I have failed to notice anything in the way you live that my God could possibly call perfect. And yet, do you remember how eager you were when you first heard the message? Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Soil.
See, I knew you would do it. I knew you could do it. Hold on to that. Repent. Repent? Repent of what? Who is he talking to? He's talking to a group who believe in him. They have faith. Right? Aren't these the faithful? Don't they have faith? If you do not wake up, oh, here it is. I shall come to you like a thief without telling you at what hour to expect me.
24.
There are a few in Sardis, it is true, who have kept their robes from being dirtied. Sounds like dirty righteousness to me, right? What would dirty righteousness be described as? Righteousness by faith. Dirty righteousness is described as righteousness by faith.
Well, it's not even really righteousness, is it?
Well, it's a lukewarm kind of righteousness, which comes in a later message. And they are fit to come with me dressed in white. That is what the invitation to the marriage feast stipulated. Dressed in white. Not dirty white. Bright, clean, white wedding gown. Those who prove victorious will be dressed like these in white robes. I shall not blot their names out of the book of life, but acknowledge their names in the presence of my Father and his angels. If anyone has ears to hear, let him listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches or assemblies. I like assemblies better. Now, that last statement, ears to hear, where did we see that before? Let's see what that says. So, in their case, this prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled. You will listen and listen again, but not understand. See and see again, but not perceive. For the heart of this nation has grown coarse. Their ears are dull of hearing, and they have shut their eyes for fear that they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and be converted and be healed by me. Now, let me ask you, isn't that the whole point? Didn't he come here to save his people from their sins? He did come to save his people from their sins. The people of the world, his people of his creation, he did come to save them from their sins, but he did not come to save them in their sins.
The way he came to save them from their sins was he wrote them a prescription, and he saw their responsibility to...
He planted the seed, the good seed, which is the truth, and that which is his testimony. And those who receive his words and allow his words to take root, to sprout, to grow, to bear fruit within their soul are the ones who have a white robe. And they produce seed. And they sow the seed, and they turn the seed into bread. So they are sowing seed, and they are feeding and sowing. Back to the explanation of the wheat and the darnel. The sower of the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed is the subjects of the kingdom. Now, that word subjects. In a kingdom, there are people living. They live in a kingdom. They are the subjects of the kingdom. They are also the subjects of the king because they are the subjects of the kingdom. How does one become, first of all, how do we enter this kingdom? In order to be a subject of the kingdom of God, we have to be in the kingdom of God. How do we enter the kingdom of God? We do not enter the kingdom of God on a profession of faith. We do not enter the kingdom of God by accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and enter through His grace.
You're on the basis of the dress code.
Dress code, yes, indeed, Larry. John chapter 3. Verse 5. He's talking to Nicodemus, and he says this. And he says this, and this is very clear. This is very, very clear. At least to me, maybe it isn't to you, I don't know. Jesus replied, I tell you most solemnly, unless a man is born through water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Born of water is baptism. Water, baptism. Born of the Spirit is completing the sanctification process. And the validation that you have completed the sanctification process is that you have a white robe. Not a dirty white robe, but a white robe. It is your righteousness. It is your righteousness. It is not a gifted righteousness given to you, even though you are not righteous. It is not a white robe that covers your dirty robe. It is not a free pass to enter the kingdom, even though you haven't completed the sanctification process. Unless a man is born through water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Turn to Revelation chapter 12. Verse 17. Then the dragon was enraged with the woman. Remember, the woman is the Holy Spirit. the woman standing on the moon, crown of 12 stars on her head, and clothed with the sun. Then the dragon was enraged with the woman and went away to make war on the rest of her children. That is, all who obey God's commandments and bear witness for the Son of God, or are witnesses testifying to the truth, which is what the Son of God did.
Those that become good seed.
Those that are products of the seed the sower planted. They are subjects of the kingdom. So I just put together a sequence of contributing bit words of information, words that have come from the Father, Almighty God Himself. That is, that the soul of an individual that is as rich soil that reads the words of the Son of God, or hears and reads the words of the Son of God, because their soil is receptive to these words of truth, it is not hard like the road that some of the seed fell on. It is not rocky like the soil that some of the seed fell on. It is not covered with thorns like some of the soil that the seed fell on. It is rich and receptive to the seed, so that when the seed, those words of truth, come in contact with their soul, it can take root and it can sprout and it can grow into the fullness of the ear, the fullness of the grain. It then can produce good seed, not darnel, not the lies. Reading further in the explanation. So the field is the world, the field is the souls of men. The reapers are the angels. That word angel means messenger. So the reapers are the messengers. Messengers are disciples. Well then, just as the darnel is gathered up and burnt in the fire, so it will be at the end of time. So we have two sowers. We have the Son of Man, who is also the Son of God. And then we have the enemy who sowed the darnel. They are the subjects of the evil one. So those who allow the weed seeds, the darnel seeds, to grow in their soul, they are subjects of the evil one, the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels. The Son of Man will send his angels, his messengers, his servants. And they will gather out of his kingdom. Now, wait a minute, you're going to say. How can he gather these out of his kingdom if they're not in his kingdom? Remember that I talked about the kingdom of transition between the kingdom of the world, which is ruled by the devil and those who worship him. There is a kingdom that exists in the wilderness that is called the kingdom of the heavens. They have come out of the kingdom of the world in a for the purpose of entering the kingdom of God. But they have lived in the wilderness so long that they've convinced themselves they are in the kingdom of God because they have
survived.
Gone out of the kingdom of the devil, the kingdom of the world. And they worship God. But they don't know the God they worship. So a lot like Israel in the wilderness between Egypt and the promised land, that's where these people exist. But to them, they are in the kingdom of God because they believe that they are. They have faith that they are in the kingdom of God.
They have faith that they have been saved by grace.
Well, by faith through grace, yes. Faith is what they have to do. Grace is what God provides to save them in their faith. God loves these people in the wilderness. He loves them very much. But he wants them in his kingdom. He needs them in his kingdom. There's coming a time very soon when the soul of each person will be fully exposed as to its readiness to receive the truth. The darnel is removed first, just at the end of the judgment. Now, when we look at this end, all my life I believed it to be after the trumpets had blown, we were coming up on the seventh trumpet. And as soon as the seventh trumpet blew, the announcement would be made that the kingdom of God has been completed. And the kingdom of the devil has been sealed. Their fate has been sealed. But the people of earth would have had very clear evidence that the judgment, the harvest, was very close because they could count first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth trumpets, knowing that when the seventh trumpet sounded, that was it. You were either sealed by the living God or you were sealed by the dead God. But that is not how it's going to be. The world is going to experience a time of peace and prosperity for everyone on the face of the earth. It may seem to some a lot like God has already come, spiritually speaking. But yes and no. The truth is still going to go out, and people are still going to be required to accept it. And those who accept it will be represented as good seed. Those who reject it will be represented as the bad seed, the darnel. There will still be a harvest, and that harvest will be as it is explained in the parable of the wheat and the darnel. Remember, there is an earth catastrophe that is going to happen. And according to the experts who are honest with themselves and with the science, within the next 2 decades, there will be a cosmic disaster that will wipe out all life on Earth. I believe that those who will survive it will not be on Earth at the time this happens. That they are the righteous who will be taken off this earth to where God lives. And then they will be brought back, and God will come back having transferred his throne from where he is now to this earth where he will be forever and ever. Truth has always been and always will be the determining factor in salvation.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you all for being here today. We are encourage you to join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. We also encourage you to go to our website at spiritoftruthministry.net and our secondary website at spiritoftruthministry.net/SM. The situation that is going on in the world right now is defined clearly by what Rick just said. And so we hope you will study this for yourself. And we'll see you all here tomorrow at 10 a.m. for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis saying so long for now. We'll see you tomorrow.